Are you ready for the game? Are you ready for today? Are you ready to cheer? Are you ready to run around in circles? Did you get dizzy? Don't fall down. Don't fall down. Nobody fall down in those circles. Amen. Today we're going to talk about football. I like that. Hey, how many of y'all know in order to play football, in order to win football, you got to practice. You got to go out there in those summer days. Used to be, I don't know if they let them do them anymore, but used to be they called things, little thing called two-a-days. Two-a-days. And back then, when I was in school, the two-a-days wasn't one in the morning, one in the evening. So you ain't had to put up with that heat in the afternoon. It was two-a-days was normally both in the afternoon and the evening. When in the summertime, it is what? Hot, steamy, sweaty. But in order for you to have any chance of winning a game or even competing in a game, you had to go to practice, didn't you? You had to go learn your plays. You had to go learn offensive and defensive, what they called was what? A playbook, right? You had to go learn what your position was supposed to do on certain plays. We got that same playbook from God in the Bible. We got to study it. We got to practice it. We got to live it every day like we did those football practices or any other sports you might have been a part of. You still had to practice in order to know what you were doing. Amen? But the team that practiced the best sometimes could beat the team that had all the talent. Amen? Sometimes it wasn't necessarily the most talented team that won, but the one that followed their playbook. They followed what their coach told them. They followed what they were supposed to do in each individual play that they ran, that they practiced time after time after time after time. How many of y'all hate repetitive stuff? We hate it, but guess what? That's what God calls us to do. He wants us to be repetitive with Him. He wants us to be repetitive in His Word, to learn more, to where when those plays come up in our lives, that we know what God's will for us is in each one of those situations, that we can act on it right then. Like the football players do, like a cornerback does when a wide receiver comes out to catch a ball, he follows him back. He goes where he's going, he follows him. When the quarterback throws the ball, hopefully he'll either break it up or intercept it, right? But he knows what he's doing because of all the practice he put in the summertime in learning how that footwork, how to turn the hips when the wide receiver turns his, how to run up on him faster than what he's running towards you and to get the ball. Amen? We got that same practice that we have with Jesus alive every day. Amen? Today's scripture is going to come from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34 and 35. 1 Samuel 17, 34 and 35. And the King James Version says, "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." Amen. Let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all you do for us, Jesus. Lord, I ask you as always right now, let your Holy Spirit rain down upon me, Lord. Lord, may you get Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. May you speak through me, Lord. May it be your words and not mine, Lord. Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul to what you have for us today, Lord. May you be with us through the rest of the message, Lord. That we can celebrate a little bit of football today, Lord, but know that the ultimate game that we're playing is life and death today, Lord, and that we need to be on the winning side of that, Jesus. In your most precious name I pray. Amen. So today we're going to talk about two practical lessons that Christians can learn from football. Two practical lessons that we can learn from football. I'm going to start out with a quick story for you. How many of y'all know where Wisconsin is? Y'all know they have a college football team in Wisconsin called the University of Wisconsin Badgers, correct? Well, I'm going to tell you a story. This is about Michigan State versus Wisconsin football in a game from 1982. How many of y'all weren't alive in 1982? Was not alive in 1982. Well, here, I'm going to give y'all some history on this. In Camp Randall Stadium, which is where the Badgers play, 70,000 screaming fans. And if y'all have ever seen any footage currently of the fans at Camp Randall, they jump from the start of the game to the end of the game. So they're screaming, they're crazy. But 70,000 of them was in attendance for that game. Michigan State was in the game, and they were close. They were only down 16-10. Late in the second quarter, though, the Wisconsin crowd started cheering loudly, all on their own, out of nowhere. They started cheering loudly. When they were cheering, "Coop, Coop, Coop, Coop." And the player, you know, when your fans start cheering loud, you get crazy, don't you? You get excited. Well, Wisconsin held on to win the game 24-23 at the end because they broke up in a two-point conversion. But here's the thing. In that second quarter, the fans were saying, what were they chanting again? You remember? Coop! 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 Let me tell you why. This was the fall of 1982. Many of y'all might realize that during the first part of football season, there's also another major league sport that's played. Y'all know what that is? Baseball. Baseball. While this game was going on, before it started, in a little town a few miles away from them called St. Louis, the St. Louis Cardinals and the Milwaukee Wisconsin Brewers were playing a World Series game. And St. Louis was up early in the game by about 4 runs. The crowd, and I don't know if they still do it, but they used to when you went to a football game, everybody carried these little things called transistor radios. Y'all remember those? You carried those so you could listen to the game in your ear, their broadcast, so you know exactly what was going on. You could watch it, but you could also hear it better and understand it better. Well, the fans had brought all those radios into the stand, those 70,000 screaming fans. But instead of listening to the football broadcast of the ball game that they were watching, they were listening to the broadcast of the World Series game. And Coop, everybody say Coop. Coop happens to be their nickname for the Milwaukee Brewers first baseman by the name of Cecil Cooper. And he got the game-winning hit. That's what they were all cheering about. They were going crazy. But the football players enjoyed it because they were hearing the fans go crazy. How many of y'all like being involved in something and being getting cheered on, being rooted on? Amen? That's part of something that we enjoy hearing for ourselves when we're doing something. Amen? About the third quarter, they finally announced that the Brewers had actually come back and beat the Cardinals. And a bunch of the fans already knew that because they had been listening to that game. But think about that. They used that game, but they listened to the baseball game to cheer them on. Wisconsin again won 24-23. In a movie, y'all may have heard of this one, called Any Given Sunday. It's a football movie, in case you haven't heard of it. There's an actor that y'all may have heard of called Al Pacino. And he plays an aging NFL coach. Towards the end of the movie, he gives a monologue about how football, like life, is a game of inches. And what he says is, The inches we need are everywhere around us. On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us into pieces for that inch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make a difference between winning and losing. Sure, that long pass to the end zone is exciting. And hopefully we'll see a lot of those today with Kansas City. But in between the big plays are a lot of short ones. And those short plays are often decided by a matter of inches. Following Jesus often feels the same way. Some next steps, like salvation or marriage, are like the big play that makes it to the highlight reel on SportsCenter. Dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. Y'all remember ESPN, right? But other next steps feel more like first downs. Not sexy, but still moving us closer to the goal of becoming more like Jesus. Everybody say, I want to be more like Jesus. Amen. So here's the two practical lessons that we can learn from football. Small choices now can lead to highlight moments later. In the coaching ranks, ESPN and other networks will offer televised the introduction of the new head coach in the college ranks or NFL. This moment's not possible, though, without the roles that prepared that coach to be a head coach, like the hours that he spent in a low-paid graduate assistant job, or just living behind the scenes as a special teams coordinator for somebody. He put in work, didn't he? He put in work to be a head coach, just like the players put in work in the practices to get those plays down. We often see or hear stories of how someone invited a friend to church and his or her life was changed forever. Amen? The stories are celebrated in all the world, and all of us would like to impact someone's life in a similar way, wouldn't we? It takes small steps of obedience to be prepared. It can be as simple as memorizing one verse and being prepared to share it at any moment. Many small acts of obedience like that lead to the highlight moments. 1 Samuel again says in the NIV, but David said to Saul, I have been keeping my father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it, rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. David used his opportunities as a shepherd, a low-level job, to prepare himself for bigger moments. Like when he faced Goliath in a battle. He knew God had equipped him to do the things that were not normal. God is still equipping us to do things that are not normal. Amen? Outside of the normal world we view. David didn't know that the battle with Goliath was upcoming, did he? He didn't know that in forethought. But he focused on being excellent wherever he was day to day. No matter what he was doing, he focused on being excellent at that. Just like a football team focuses those practices on being excellent at each individual play that they run or each little defense that they do. They promote excellence. That's the same thing as us getting in our word every day and in prayer every day. That promotes Christ's excellence in us to live day to day, walk by walk with him. The second thing that it does is the fundamentals build the foundation. Fundamentals build the foundation. How many of y'all know that you can't just walk out on the football field and tackle somebody the correct way? You got to practice it. You got to practice being able to get down in a stance, because trust me, you can't go at them straight on. You'll get hurt. You'll get broke. Somebody will get hurt. So you got to practice fundamentals. You got to work on your footwork, work on your handwork to be able to wrap them up and hold on to them. A lot of people see tacklers today. They put in the work earlier, but like when they get to college or the NFL, they forget what they were doing. And when the defensive or offensive player comes running by, they throw an arm out, try to slow somebody down or tackle them. They either get hurt by them ripping the arm back, or the runner back or wide receiver just running right through them because they weren't doing the fundamentals. As a coach, you have to build your team up. In the game of football, defensives have to defend multiple types of offenses. But before you can teach them to defend anything, they must learn how to tackle. It's a skill that is a simple expectation by the common fan. But every coach knows how important at every level is to practice tackling. They want to take tackling out of some of the football practices until you get into a regular season game in some places. I don't know about you, but I don't think that's going to help. That's not going to teach you the right way to do it if you can't practice it over and over. Amen? Tackling is a fundamental element of football that leads to success. Here are three fundamentals that are important to practice as us Christians. The first one is prayer. Amen? Prayer. Asking God to do amazing things in you and in other people. We got to talk to Him. We got to tell Him what we want. Amen? He knows what's best for us, but He likes to hear from us. He likes to commune with us, talk to us, love on us, have that relationship. Amen? Rather than just knowing Him, we know Him. Amen? Second one is reading the Bible. We got to listen to Jesus and do what He says. Because the words of the Bible, I guarantee you, any place you open the Bible to will speak to you. Something you're going through at that very moment. God has words for you, direction for us. Our playbook, as we say, is right here in the Word of God. And we know that it does not lie to us. Amen? We have to read it. We have to listen to it. We have to do what it says, not what the world says that we should do, not how Satan says that we should act, not how the world tries to say we'll feel a lot better if we act that way. We have to do what God says to do. And the only way that we're going to know is by reading the Bible every day. We won't have a clue if we just get saved and hang out. Amen? We got to participate. It's a two-way street. It's not God only. It's both of us. The third thing is serving. Helping other people connect with Jesus and connect with the church. We got to tell people about it. Amen? We got to invite people to come and hear about our wonderful Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Super Bowl trophy. We got to tell them how much He loves them. But we also got to tell them how good He is to us. We should do that with a joyful, serving heart. We should enjoy talking to each other. Amen? We should enjoy spending time with each other. We should enjoy waiting on each other. Amen? We should enjoy talking to the lost about Jesus and serving Him in that way. Looking for opportunities to apply these fundamentals in your life can not only make a difference in you, but it will make a difference in the lives of others. When they truly see that you love them, that you care about them, that's when it makes the difference. Amen? That's when they see the true Jesus through us and overflowing out of us. Amen? When the church began, a man named Paul traveled around to help churches get started. He worked with a variety of people to share the message of Jesus. Paul describes one such person in 2 Corinthians 8:23 by the name of Titus. Titus, not just another person on the team, but as someone he could trust. That was Paul's thought of Titus. Titus wasn't just another teammate, but he was a teammate that he could trust fully with everything. In 2 Corinthians 8:23 it says, "As for Titus, he is my partner and co-worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the church and an honor to Christ." It was through being faithful with the fundamentals that Titus was given more responsibility. We can live that same way. When we're more faithful with what God wants us to do, when we're more faithful getting in His Word and praying to Him and serving for Him, He opens up a lot more responsibilities for us. He opens up more doors for us to talk to, more people to love on. Amen? If you want to talk about it in football terms, more teams to go hang out with and share with. He gives us more responsibility, just like He did Titus. The inches, every small choice we make, can be the difference between winning and losing. As a Christian, we know that in Christ we win. Amen? But we must also continue to fight for those inches so others that may receive the salvation that can be found only in our Lord and Savior. Only in Jesus. He is the only salvation out of this world. There is no other. Amen? No other way can you get to heaven but through Jesus Christ. Amen? So my questions for you today is, are you ready for the team? Are you ready for the team? Are you ready to take off your old uniform of your old self for the new one that Christ has in us? Are you ready to be traded? Some people don't like to be traded, do they? Some athletes hate being traded. But are you ready to be traded? Sorry. Are you ready to be traded from the losing team to the ultimate Super Bowl winning team? A team that will reign on high for eternity. Are you ready to be Jesus' partner? Are you ready to have Him as a partner? Are you ready to turn off the path that you're on and get off the bench and in the game? There's a lot of people that like being on the team just to sit on the bench. Amen? That's called a participation trophy. God wants us to be involved. He don't want us to hang out for a participation trophy. He wants us to be out there loving on people, living on people, living with people, telling them about Him. He wants us to be part of the team, not just a seat taker, not just a water drinker in practice. He wants us to be involved in the practicing, in the plays that we have, in the playbook, in each other's lives. God wants us to be part of the game. Amen. As they come for the last song, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your message today, Lord. Lord, as always, I thank You that Your word spoken, not mine, Lord. Lord, I ask that you keep impressed upon our hearts, Lord, the importance of being part of Your team today, Lord. Lord, the majesty that it brings us to be able to share somebody with You, Lord. Lord, I ask that you put a new fervor in our heart, Lord, that we would want to be stronger and read Your Bible and Your word each and every day, Lord, more than what we do now, Lord. Lord, but not only that, but to put it in practice, Lord. Lord, that we would want to pray beyond unending, Lord, 24 hours a day, Lord, 7 days a week, Lord. Lord, I ask You just to put that fire up on us, Lord. Lord, that we can come out of the Satan side of hell, Lord, and the losing side, Lord, and come into Your ultimate glory, Your ultimate victory, Jesus. In Your most precious name I pray. Amen.